welcome to pod 16 of the official Palace pod. I'm Chris Grierson from Palace TV, which you can watch on YouTube, eagles.cpfc.co.uk, and all of our social media channels. And this time on the podcast, it is a Hollywood special because I'm at Sellers Park for the Crystal Palace supporters children's charity Christmas party, of which Bill Nighy is a patron. He's here every year. We always cover this event. It's always nice to catch up with him. We'll also hear from James MacArthur and Roy Hodgson. But before all that, let's go stateside, where Roger Bennett from NBC's Men in Blazers interviewed director of the Bourne films, United 93, Netflix's 22nd of July, whatever it's called, brand new drama on Netflix, Mr. Paul Greengrass. Roger spoke to him about his favourite subject, Crystal Palace Football Club. And no, your phone isn't making funny noises, it's sound effects.
Our guest today is a British journalist, documentarian and film director. You know him from his creative brilliance with the Jason Bourne franchise. His latest film, 22nd July, is a docudrama about the 2011 bombings and mass murders in Norway and the aftermath. It's a journey into darkness, ultimately an inspirational journey, and it's available on Netflix right now. Welcome to the Panic Room, the single biggest Crystal Palace fan in Hollywood.
Oh, it's Mr. Paul Greengrass.
It is true.
That is true.
It's better than an Oscar.
That is. It would be. If Palace won the Cup, that would be better than an Oscar.
Oh, Paul, 22.
Maybe Champions League.
You'll take Champions League.
I would take Champions League.
To see Jason Puncheon where he belongs.
Punch.
Why Palace? What was the decision to commit yourself?
I started living in Southeast London. The thing you've got to understand about London is there's North London.
Tourism.
Tottenham, Arsenal, posh. West London, Chelsea, Fulham.
Posher.
East London, West Ham, total.
We need to market this map. Okay. Posh, posher, total.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you've got South London, where you have Palace. There's a diversity down there. There's none of your prawn cocktail brigade. There's a pure love of football.
I'm an Everton fan.
Oh dear,
I think of Palace as the Everton of London, just a blue-collar club, diverse, close to the fans, not rich, but built on tradition, passion, loyalty, tenacity.
South London and proud.
Also similar in that both clubs teach important lessons about life. Life is ultimately about suffering and despair. Happy moments are fleeting.
Exactly.
But when they occur, you don't
expect to win anything if you're a Palace fan. It reflects the essential existential tragedy of life. You struggle hard.
Yes.
Occasionally, as you climb the mountain through the storm, the clouds part and you see momentarily you see in the distance the summit.
Yes.
Kissed with sun.
And you think you can touch it.
And Punch knocks the ball in and you go, if we can hold out for nine minutes, we'll win the cup.
Pardew dancing, it's better than the trophy.
Yeah, Pards. Good old Pards. What a ledge.
Oh, he died too soon.
He had a tight pair of shorts.
He had a tight everything. Alan Pardew. Roy Hodgson. Last season, he inherited a team at rock bottom, not just 0 points after seven games. Mm-hmm. They hadn't even scored a bloody goal. He inspired your team to survival, nearly cracked the top half of the table. How did he do it?
When you see top managers, and he is a top manager, they make decisions, don't they? It's quite similar, I actually think, to my business.
Yep.
You have to make some big decisions
casting.
And stick by them. Yeah, casting, blend. He stopped chopping and changing. Roy doesn't chop and change much. He doesn't like to make too many substitutions either.
If Roy was a film director, his leading man would be one, Wilfred Zaha. Can you talk about your love for Wilf?
My son calls him Son of Zeus. He's just too good for you. He's just too good for you. He's just too good for you. He's just
twice
too good
sing
for
to Dave. How much joy is that man giving you, Wilf?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Unbelievable moments of joy.
You do have a son that didn't follow in your footsteps. You've got a son that's a Chelsea fan, right?
No,
how
but he
did
was
this happen?
Now he's total Palace.
Oh.
If I showed you, he texts me during the game, right? I'll get a text, it'll go, I really fancy us today. then there'll be another one five minutes after the kickoff. It'll be after 10 minutes here. We are such then after 15 minutes, it'll be, I can't believe Roy's picked this team. And then suddenly you'll get in there. You know they've scored.
That is the joy of football, which exactly. Is ultimately, get in there. English football is a narrative of fathers and sons it and is. Mothers and daughters.
Football is dreams and magic, isn't it? It's romance and it's a realm beyond. It's everything that you've ever wanted. Connects you to being a little boy. That's what it does. It's true. My two boys, they've grown up now. When they were little, I used to take them walking down Holmesdale Road up to the ground and I'd hold their hands. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. True. This is absolutely completely. True. Yeah, we've all
and
done it.
The happiness it gave me as a dad, the rhythm of going to the games all the time. Now, when I go, because they're huge, the pair of them, they tower over me. Now, I've noticed as we get better, they man-mark me in the crowd.
Yes!
They stand each side so I don't get bumped.
An amazing transitional life.
That's so lovely.
We were in England.
It's the circle of life.
It is the circle of life. We were in England. We had a driver who is a Gillingham fan. And he said he used to follow Gillingham everywhere just for the fights, just to protect Gillingham all over England. And he says, now, same guys, we used to kick him faces. Take our daughters to the Gillingham game. It's the most amazing connection. And I said, the circle of life will be when your daughters are beating the crap out of everybody at Gillingham Games. So there's another
there,
step
probably.
For you to go. Yeah. Last question for you, Paul Greengrass. We talk a lot about Jason Bourne when we're watching football. The Jason Bourne kind of goal, the goal where the player runs into the box with the ball at his feet. Defenders are flinging themselves. The bodies are flying. He just propels himself through. Mm-hmm. Who, in the mind of the Jason Bourne director, is the Premier League's ultimate Jason Bourne? Is it Andros Townsend? Is it Eden Hazard?
I think Andros has got a little bit of Jason Bourne about him.
Yeah, Andros's agent just perked up when he heard about this. It would be the lowest grossing box office Jason Bourne if you were to cast Andros Townsend. No diss to Andros. I was thinking Kun Aguero, the way he takes out defenders as if they were inferior operators from Treadsting.
No, you can't have a Manx club as Jason Bourne. Come on, that's ridiculous.
It's official.
Did you see the Man City documentary?
I did.
Did you? The best bit of that, by far, watched it all.
Yeah.
The best bit was when Guardiola came up and said, next week we play Crystal Palace. Very, very good team. Do you remember that? And he went through the Palace team. And we nearly beat them. It was 0-0. If we hadn't missed a pen in the last minute, we would have beaten them.
Critics are saying that is undeniably, objectively, the best bit of the whole project. Paul Greengrass, thank you for joining us. 22 July, available right now on Netflix. Up the Palace.
Come on, Eagles!
Paul Greengrass there speaking to Roger Bennett. So, from a cool director to one of the coolest actors in the business. Star of Love Actually, Pirates of the Caribbean, and loads, loads more, Bill Nighy.
Bill, here we are again at another of these Christmas parties. For those that don't know about it, can you just explain what it's all about?
This is the Crystal Palace Children's Christmas Party. I try and get here most years. I've been coming for about, 10 years or something of that kind. And we raise a lot of money for the kids who have various conditions that they, where they need special help. And the players always come. It's exemplary. The manager always comes. The players come in all the full gear, and they serve the food, and it's a great day out for the parents and for the children.
It's something you look forward to coming to every year.
I do. Yeah, it's an opportunity, to do something that might be useful. I do very little of the work. I just turn up, I'm pleased to be a part of it. And the people who organise it, it's tremendous work, and they do a great job.
And now, a lot of people know you're a Palace fan. It's because you're from around this area, aren't you? Where is it? Caterham, Purley?
Caterham. I was born in Caterham. I went to school in Purley, and Palace are the nearest club, and my whole family are Palace fans. And my nephews and my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, and we're all Palace stalwarts, I think is the word they use.
When we spoke a couple of years ago, you were saying it was a good time, it was a proud time to be a Palace fan. Like, there's no more mumbling into your collar that you support Crystal Palace. Still in the Premier League, so still feel that way.
Yeah, I think, I can't remember, was it three or four seasons now? Is this our third or fourth?
This is our sixth season in the Premier League.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's, I think, unprecedented. Yeah, no, it used to be that people would say, who's your team? And you'd go, Crystal Palace. Now you just go, Crystal Palace.
You know, or just Palace.
Or just Palace, yeah. So yeah, no, it's good, and it's what, and I'm very happy. You know, we've got a great squad. I love Roy Hodgson as a manager. I had the pleasure of having lunch with him the other day, and he won't mind me saying, Chua Taleggio for the actor, who's a friend of mine. He's a massive Palace fan, and he came to lunch, and he was very, very pleased to meet Roy. He kept saying afterwards, well, you know, what are we going to do after the lunch? Because, like, the lunch was, like, it became mythical, you know. And I took Sir David Hare, the playwright, and his son Joe Hare, who's now sports editor of the Times, and both, they grew up in Camberwell. I mean, Joe grew up in Camberwell, and David used to live there. They're big fans as well. So it was a really nice affair, you know.
Well, you spoke to Paul Greengrass earlier, who's a massive Palace fan. Do you bump into quite a lot of Palace fans within the movie industry?
Well, I certainly see Paul Greengrass around, and he only has one subject, really, which is he just wants to talk about Palace. He invited me to his wedding before I knew him very well, and his wife came over and said, you know the only reason you're here is because you support Crystal Palace. And he mentioned Palace, I think, at least three times in his speech, and I think he'd arranged his honeymoon around Palace fixtures. So he's a dedicated man.
So what have you been up to this year?
This year I am. I've made several films. I've made a film called Sometimes, Always, Never, which I think might be quite interesting. Edwin Collins, people might remember Edwin Collins, has done the music for it. It's about a family who are obsessed with internet Scrabble. It's a bit of a mystery, and I think it might be worth a look. Also, I'm in, this would interest most of the younger people here. I'm in Pokemon the Movie. Oh, yeah.
Wow, okay.
I have your attention. There are 60 Pokemon to be realized in the movie. It's a live action movie. It's like a real life movie, but there will be 60 Pokemon in it. And it's legendary for Universal Pictures, so they've got lots of money, so they'll make it look seriously good, cool, you know. And it should be good fun. I made another film called The Kindness of Strangers, which has just been chosen to open the Berlin Film Festival. So we're all very excited about that.
I know it's Christmas time. Do you find at this time of year, because of Love Actually being on TV, do you find a new generation of people coming up to you in the street each year?
It's mental. I was in Prague recently, and I thought Love Actually was quite big here. It's absolutely insane in the Czech Republic. It's, and everywhere you go, it's become a kind of institution at Christmas. But yeah, particularly this time of year. I mean, I get, I walk everywhere, so I get, I have a lot of selfies and stuff, but Christmas, it sort of triples. A woman came up to me the other day and said, hey, Mr. Christmas, can I have a picture? I said, you cheeky sod. Yes.
Well, I actually had. I got forced last Friday night. We had a friend of ours, a couple came round, and we sat down. We had a Love Actually evening,
right.
They brought matching pyjamas for us all to wear, Christmas pyjamas. How sad is that?
That is kind of, that's out there. That's edgy, if you don't mind me saying. But why not? You know, could be worse.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
What a gent. And hands up if you wish you were there at that lunch with Roy and Chivotal. And yes, we will be trying to track Chivotal Ejiofor down to do some kind of really cool video in South London. But back to football, where the winner of Selhurst Sweep, which you can watch on our YouTube channel and eagles.cpfc.co.uk, James MacArthur, sat down this week with Premier League Productions.
James, first of all, have to reflect on what happened on Tuesday. What's the fallout been like from that?
It's obviously not a nice place to be at the football club when you lose. But we need to be professional. We need to try and get back onto good form. We've been playing well, and we need to make sure this is a blip and bounce back with a good performance and a victory.
Bad performances are disappointing anyway, but against your bitter rivals, I guess, makes it even harder to swallow.
It is. We know how big it is for the full club, the fans. We know that as players we feel like we've let them down. But we need to try and make it right by winning and try and give them something to cheer about.
I was at the Burnley game on Saturday, and you were magnificent as a team that day. Can you put your finger on why there were two such different performances in such a short space of time?
No, it's hard to, but that's the Premier League. Not every team plays well every single match. You're going to get these performances and defeats. It's about bouncing back and trying to make it right. You look at the top teams, they do have bad performances, and we know obviously that because it's a derby, it was so one for us, the fans, everyone around the club, but we need to start focusing on the next game and try and make it right.
Would it be fair to say then that as a group you were hurting after that Brighton game, and that can give you a bit of, you know, extra sort of impetus to go into the next match?
Yeah, I would say it is. Yeah, obviously we know that, as I said, we've let the fans down. And as players, we need to be professional as well, of try to get back on track. The season's long. You're going to have ups and downs. It's about trying to not get too high when you win and too low when you lose. And everyone wants to make it right by winning on Saturday and try and go on a little run again and try and push up the table, because ultimately we need to try and get up there. We can't be in a relegation battle. We are just now, and we need to make it this club successful by pushing up the table.
It's a bit of a cliche, but is it a good thing to have a game so soon after the Brighton match to try and put things right?
Definitely. When you've got a full week to stew over it, really, it's not nice. So we've got a time we're disappointed, we're hurting, but we've got this opportunity to try and win and put that performance behind us.
I saw a message from Wilf on social media sort of talking about how they want to put it right. Has that sort of been the message from the players and maybe the manager as well, to try and use that to spur you on against West Ham?
Just as players, whenever you get disappointment, you want to try and get success straight away. As I said, it's never a nice feeling losing football matches. So yeah, we were so high after Saturday, playing really, really well. And one bad performance doesn't make you a bad side. It's about trying to make that performance good again.
You mentioned not wanting to be in a relegation battle. Looking at the table at the moment, do you think you're currently in one?
Yeah, we're down the bottom end of the table, and we need to try and win football matches to get away from there. I think every single team, except from maybe the top six, start with the ambition of make sure you stay up, and then after that you reassess. Our aim right now is to try and stay in the league, and if we go on a good run, then we can reassess it. But right now we need to try and get wins to try and push away from there.
Looking at the opponents on Saturday, West Ham, they had a bit of a sticky start, but now seem to have found some form themselves, and they've got a very talented squad.
They're a good side, but there's good sides all the way through the league. If you're not on it every single match, then the chances are you'll lose, like we did the other night. But we've had a lot of good performances, especially of late, drawing away to Manchester United, beating Burnley comfortable. We're looking to get back to that and try and get the 3 points.
Looking at West Ham, I know that obviously Palace have got their strengths, but where do you see their sort of main areas of strength?
They've got a good team all the way through. They've strengthened through the summer and made them a real dangerous team. Good at the back as well, so we know we're going to be on it to win the match, but we obviously want to make it right, and we'll be doing a damnedest to get those 3 points.
Looking at West Ham, do you see them as a team that Palace are sort of perhaps on a similar footing to, that they should be aiming to have similar sort of objectives over the course of the season?
We just concentrate on ourselves. We don't really look at other teams. We look at ourselves to try and win every single match we play in. And as I say, that's what we're looking for on Saturday. We'll not try to look too far ahead. Saturday's the objective, and we'll try and get the 3 points there.
Looking at your own performances, I think it's fair to say you've been one of Palace's most consistent performers for a while now. How has your game sort of developed and adapted over the last season or so? Because the midfield has sort of, you know, been adapted quite a bit by Roy as time's gone on.
Yeah, it's a position I've never really been asked to play, as right midfield. But the man just sees me there, and I actually enjoy it. Getting into some good positions, which I enjoy trying to get forward as well. So I'm enjoying it, but it's a competitive squad, and I just want to try and obviously stay in that starting 11.
What have you had to change in terms of your own game then to adapt to that switching position? What have been the challenges for you that you've obviously overcome?
It's a different position. You obviously need to learn by each game you go. With playing a new position, you make mistakes, but I feel with the position now, I know it a lot more than I did last year.
And looking at the players that have come in, Max Meyer and Cech Kouyaté have sort of, last few games, that they've been quite a, you know, an important part of that midfield. What have they brought to that midfield area that you're obviously a big part of?
Yeah, they've been good players for us this season, obviously, of late. Max has been playing more. Cech has been a big part of it as well. Cech, energy. He's very competitive. I think he's a player that we need in there because of we're not really blessed with a lot of height in midfield. He's a real battler, and Max on the ball, he's terrific the way he moves the ball. He's a real threat for us, and we obviously look at the players that are playing, but our squad right now is very good, and obviously it's been a team that's started quite a lot of games, but the players that have been coming on are that have been doing great as well. It's a squad that we're going to need as well.
Do you think that four across the midfield now, after having a bit of time to settle in, playing alongside each other in a number of consecutive games, is now clicking? Because against Burnley, it really seemed to be the case.
Yeah, but it's not just the midfield, everyone. I think the Burnley game and previous games, everyone's been playing well. It's not just a case of the midfield. Strikers have been doing a brilliant job up there, making it very difficult for defences. And our defence, obviously, as a collective unit, we conceded 3 goals, which is disappointing for the full team. But before that, as a defensive unit, we've been doing well as well.
And obviously you got your first goal of the season against Burnley. Is that one small area that you could still see a tiny bit of improvement coming from? Or is it more difficult now that you're playing out wide to try and get into goal-scoring positions?
No, this season it's not been where I wanted to be. Last year I scored a good number of goals for the team, but this year I've not scored as many as I would have liked to, and it's something I want to add to my game, obviously, this year.
And Palace's objectives for the season, I mean, looking at the quality in the squad, you sort of feel it should be more than just avoiding relegation, given the talent that is here at the club.
Yes, but the position we're in right now, by having a slow start, we need to obviously get wins and try and push away from that relegation battle.
And I know that you're away this weekend, but the Fanatics were back on Saturday against Burnley, and having been there myself, it seemed to make a huge difference. How was it for you as players having them back?
Yeah, they're obviously a big part of the club, but so is every other fan. It's not just down to the Fanatics, it's every single fan. We appreciate the support by everyone. I think by Saturday, with the performance level so high as well, you could hear every single person in the stadium, which is amazing. They're always like that. The fans are brilliant. We've had spells where we've not done as well. Even you look at the other night, we let them down, as I keep saying. But I know that when we go to West Ham, they'll be right behind us. And that's the sort of club we're at.
And just finally on West Ham, I did their game on Tuesday, and Snodgrass had a very good game. Someone that you'll know, obviously, from international times. And he really seems to be coming into form for them as well.
Yeah, he's a terrific player. Actually played with him at Boys Club all the way through. So it's someone I know really well. Terrific player, great lad around the change room, and obviously puts a good shift in for them. It's someone we need to be aware of.
Any contact with him in the build-up to this one?
Just a couple of texts, but nothing much. We'll try and do a talking on the pitch.
James McArthur there talking to Premier League Productions as the team look to bounce back from that Derby Day defeat against Brighton on Tuesday night with a top quality performance against West Ham at the London Stadium on Saturday. So let's talk to the manager and hear his thoughts ahead of that game.
48 hours after what has been a disappointing night. What's the mood in the camp?
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, the fact is it's never mood fluctuating in football, and they're bound to. It's after such a good game last weekend and having done so well, you meet up on the Monday, and of course everyone's buzzing, but you can't expect that to happen. I wouldn't even want to see that, quite honestly. 2 days after we've played a game that we wanted to win and didn't do so, but the mood's fine. I mean, once you get out onto the field, once you make certain the players understand that, you know, we all know that we wanted to do better, should have done better, and are disappointed with the result, there's nothing more you can do. You've got to let that go, because nothing we can do, say, now, 2 days afterwards, is going to affect anything. So we've got to make certain that it doesn't affect us going forward. That's the most important thing, so that we start with a clean slate on Saturday against West Ham with another opportunity to play as well as I think we have been playing and to get a result.
Just speaking to James McArthur, who says he feels like the club and the team let the fans down. Is that fair, or is that sort of just him taking it because he cares?
They all care, and I suppose you could seriously argue that because fans are so important to clubs and the fans work so hard to support their clubs, ours in particular do, when you don't give them the result they're hoping for and wanting, especially in a game which is of the importance of Brighton against Crystal Palace fixture, you've let them down. But of course there are ways of letting people down. You know, I mean, the fact is, I would be very disappointed if we'd have let them down because there was no desire to win the game or the players weren't working. You know, we had 70% possession, you know, in the second half we had 85% possession. You know, we had goodness knows how many shots by comparison to theirs, goodness knows how many penalty area entries compared to theirs. So it's not a question, well, we just did not want to win the game. We came across a Brighton team that did well in the first half, especially the first 20, 25 minutes where they played very well and thwarted us in our play, and were then fortunate enough, if fortunate is the right word, to get themselves in a 2-0 lead, which they then increased to 3-0 at half-time. So second half, they don't need much possession. They just need to make certain there is no way through for us. And I thought the players tried very hard to break through, but it wasn't good enough to win us the game. And as a result, no one after the game was crying about that or complaining about that or suggesting we've been hard done by it in any way. We accepted that this is a fact of life, in the same way that when Burnley came to us on Saturday and got comprehensively beaten, they had to accept it's a fact of life as well, because, you know, Sean Dyche is an intelligent and reasonable man, and he realised that on that day they just had to bite the bullet of defeat because we were better.
You look at the stats, actually Palace have only had 2 fewer shots than Arsenal in the entirety of the Premier League season this season.
I didn't know that.
Is the league table a fair reflection of your season, or are you playing better than that?
I think we've been playing better than the table position, yes, but I think many teams will say that. I think there won't be many teams in and around us near the bottom of the table that would say otherwise. Most of them will say we're better than this, and, you know, with a bit of luck we'd have been higher up the table. So I don't like to go too much down that route. But up to the Brighton game, I think that the performances have actually been good. We'd had 2 particularly good ones, away to Man United and home to Burnley. So this has come, if you like, as an unpleasant cold shower for us, where we didn't play as well as we wanted to play, and we have to accept defeat because we've got nothing to blame it on other than ourselves. But the important thing is that we don't allow that to affect our thoughts about ourselves as a team, which has been from the start of the season, where I think right from the very start we've played some very good football and we've shown some very good intentions. You say you have stats to back them up, which is always nice, although as the people who come to my press conferences for what they are know by this time, I'm not an enormous believer in them, because, you know, I always want to ask the question, what is a shot? what is a goal chance? And I think that it needs a lot more detailed analysis if you're ever going to really persuade coaches that this is a fair reflection of what you or other teams do, because, you know, there are times as a coach, you want people to shoot, because you know that if they shoot, they've got no chance of scoring, but if they make a pass, they might. So, But it's nice, it's still. Any stat that's positive for Crystal Palace Football Club, I'll happily accept, even though I will remain sceptical.
You say you've obviously had the possession, the team's got the desire, but you just said there's times you've lacked a bit of quality. How much of a concern is that?
Well, I haven't said we've lacked quality, and I don't think we lack quality. I'll accept the criticism that we haven't been as good at converting some of the opportunities that we've created. I'll accept that, but I've never said it's down to a lack of quality. I don't believe that we lack quality. I think, and with Conor Wickham now coming back to fitness, with Jordan Ayew playing well, in my opinion, with Sirloff getting better all the time, and with Christian Benteke not that far away, I don't know that it's right to complain about the paucity of talent or ability in the forward areas. But of course I cannot deny that if people wanted to use not only statistics but the evidence of their eyes in games and say, well look, you know, the way you played and the number of chances you created, you should really have scored more goals and that would have given you a better result, then those people saying that are saying what we say amongst ourselves. But the bottom line is that in football matches, if you did take all the chances you created, it would be a very, very different world. And I'm always conscious when I talk in these situations that there are so many other managers in similar situations saying probably the same sort of things and giving the same sort of answers. The bottom line is that table positions are very important and the number of points you get are important, because at the end of the season, that is actually going to decide your fate. But I repeat, it's the end of the season. And I refuse to ever accept that you're able to get to the end of the season in a good position without having made some good performances along the way and done some good things along the way. You know, it's never going to be purely down to luck. It's got to be down to performances. And, you know, our performance on Tuesday night, as you've said, that didn't satisfy us. But the others have, and I'm pretty sure the performance on Saturday will satisfy me, because I know the players will be desperate to give that performance.
Yeah, games coming around really quickly this time of year. West Ham this weekend. Marko Arnautović has just been announced that he's out for this weekend. He's out for a month. Does that change your plans going into the game? Is such a good player missing for them?
No. I mean, every team we play, when we prepare them, we are aware of the quality and the good players that we're going to come up against. When a team loses a player, either through suspension or injury, I never concern myself with that. And so many times in the past, there's been situations where, in particular with goalkeepers, I've been told your task will be so much easier on Saturday because their goalkeeper, or even their two best goalkeepers, are injured and they've got to play with the third goalkeeper, and how lucky you are. And then the guy's got the man of the match and we've come out on the losing side. So I'm exceptionally loath to say our task is easier because they've lost the player. I'll leave that to Manuel to decide how that will affect his team. And they have a very strong squad, West Ham. So if any team is able to cope with injuries, then it's them.
Are you looking forward to coming up against Manuel?
Yes, I don't know him very well, actually, because when he took the job, I was with England and... Of course, I ran into him a few times, and on each occasion I was pleased to meet him and had very, you know, pleasant and courteous conversations. But he's not somebody I've had a lot of close dealings with, partly because, you know, I wasn't with the club side at that time and there was no real need for me to go and watch the Man City players. They selected themselves.
Roy, first of all, team news for the weekend.
Well, we're luckier than West Ham. We don't have any injuries to report, so I have the same squad of players to choose from as I had going into the last two games. So unless anything happens tomorrow, which I hope it won't, then we'll have a full squad.
I assume there's been a fair amount of anger and frustration amongst the players because of the performance and the result on Tuesday. Is that something that you can harness to a positive effect on Saturday?
Yeah, we hope so. We hope so. I mean, derby games are big occasions, you know. You see the emotion and you see the joy or the incredible sadness it can bring the day before when Liverpool played played Everton, and you know, you see at the weekend, and you know, so much so that the Liverpool manager can't, you know, contain his emotion and ends up having to pay a lot of money as a result of it. So we know that, and so when we went into the game the other night, you know, we went in there with that burning ambition, and it was largely, to be honest, the first 20, 25 minutes, and in particular the second goal, more so even than the first one. The first one, video evidence proves, as we thought at the time, should not have been allowed, but that doesn't matter, it was allowed, so it was 1-0. But it was the second one that was worse in a way. There was a long break, a player was sent off, and then when the corner kick eventually came in, the guy who substituted the player sent off scores with his first touch of the ball, and all of a sudden, 0-1 against 10 becomes 0-2, and it's a much harder task, because you know, with a 2-goal lead, most Premiership teams are pretty hard to beat. As it turned out, it got even worse, because we gifted a third goal just before half-time.
Do you get the feeling, though, that there's a sense they want to rectify that on Saturday against West Ham? It's an extra edge to it for the players?
Well, it's a derby again. It's a London derby. It's a team close to us. It's a team that obviously we enjoy playing against and respect enormously. And I think always after defeat, most teams will be angry is probably too strong a word. Disappointed is too soft a word. But they won't feel good anyway about what's just gone, and they'll want to feel good again. And that very good feeling we had after Manchester United and Burnley, we now actually have seen the other side, how you feel after a defeat against Brighton. And the one thing is, you know, you don't want it to happen again. It's a bit like, you know, the young child who unfortunately ventures a bit too close to the fire and manages to put his hand and get a slight burn. He doesn't do it again for a long time, that's for sure. And that's how we feel. But, and it's a big but, West Ham want to win as well. And West Ham are a good team. And it would, the questions make more sense if the other team don't care too much. But you caring more is going to make you win the game. The question and my answers will be more relevant. The problem is that West Ham, irrespective of whether they won or lost the last game, will go into this game in front of their own crowd every bit as desperate to win it as we are. So it does always boil down, eventually, to how good are we going to be? And are we going to play good enough football and cause them enough problems to win the game? So I know we'll be ready for that, absolutely.
And looking at West Ham just quickly, they've sort of hit a bit of form after a somewhat sticky start. Do you get the feeling now we're seeing Manuel Pellegrini's West Ham? Because it takes a time when a new coach comes in to get your team playing the way you want them to.
Yeah, and especially with new players as well. You know, they've bought a lot of players, and they've had to, the manager Manuel, who's also new and with his staff, has had to sort of integrate those players alongside, you know, some players of long standing, in particular people like Noble and Declan Rice, Cresswell, these sort of guys. But you need that integration process, and their performances of late have been very good, and the quality of their players is good. So in actual fact, they are a team that I'm sure is looking to be much higher up the table even than they are at the moment. So for us, away from home, this is one of those games where you know that if you're going to get something from the game, you've got to be good. And so that's what we'll try to be. And if we are good and they are good, then we're going to see a good game.
Thanks, Roy.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Mark. Pete?
Hi, good afternoon, Roy.
Pete.
London Stadium, it's taken West Ham a while to settle into it. What was your impressions playing there last year? You could understand their difficulties, or does it give them a way to start an advantage?
Yeah, I think I could, because it's so much bigger. It's such a vast stadium compared to Upton Park, which was, you know, much more akin to Selhurst Park. A, as an iconic stadium, and B, the stadium where the fans are really very close to the action. So, yes, I could understand it. But I think that's past now. I think, you know, we're now almost halfway through the second season, so I don't think they're going to be thinking along those terms or those lines anymore. and I don't think there are advantages for teams going there anymore, as maybe there were right in those early days when Slaven Bilic was, you know, having to deal with that problem and was finding the team was often not able to reach its true potential.
Hey, can I ask you about the story this morning? How much disruption did that cause you with having your kitchens closed because of the problems?
Mm. Well, to be perfect, I've forgotten all about it. It didn't cause any disruption at all. It was a one-day event. We got food in from the outside, so our food was served in exactly the same way as it always is, and the kitchen was spot on next day. So it was one of these things that obviously can happen, but we've spent a lot of money upstairs on the facilities and on revamping, in actual fact, the whole area in the canteen, and the kitchen and the facilities up there are really, really good. So it was a surprise to everybody, but it certainly was no disruption. And now everything's more than fine because it's an awful lot better than it was the season before.